We're on. Okay, great. Okay, we are talking about anger, righteous and unrighteous anger. And so we're looking here at these outward emotions. Anger is definitely one that tends to be directed outward at people or at things. My anger tends to be a little bit toward things more than more often than not. And anger, again, is something that is human. It's a natural human reaction to certain stimulus that we get. And it takes many forms. The one that we think of most often is losing our temper. I, as a kid especially, I had a pretty hot temper. And I have two brothers, one younger and one older. And we were really good at stimulating one another's temper. If we were bored, what we would often do was irritate one another. That was much to my, that would then get my mother angry, which would then get my father angry, and then we'd stop for a while. That was the kind of the pattern, I think, that we often see. And so you kind of think of, okay, losing your temper as being the form of anger. But there's a lot of other forms that anger takes. Irritability. I can get pretty irritable when certain things, when I get interrupted, when I'm trying to concentrate on something, I have to repeat something for the nth time. And that is a form of anger. There's also forms of anger that are really abuse. Verbal abuse is a great one. Again, my brothers and I practice that to quite a bit with one another. We didn't know it was verbal abuse. We just was thought we were being irritating. But also negative humor, sarcasm are all forms of taking something which is internal and again directing it outside. So it sounds pretty bad. So, in a certain way, we kind of want to be these perfect people, like Mr. Spock from the old original Star Trek, who didn't have any emotions. He just computed things, and everything was fine, and then had judgments that he would give. But was Christ like Mr. Spock? Okay, so what are some examples of Christ getting angry? Anthony, back there.
He threw all those types out of the temple.
Yay. Comes in the back of the church there and starts upending the tables with the, hopefully not the food audit, but the money changers. Yes. So he comes in actually into the temple. So that's, and why was he angry?
Because if they were selling stuff at the temple,
they were selling
God.
They were selling salvation.
Yes, they were.
To be disrespectful to God.
They were being disrespectful to God, and he was angry at that. Okay, what are other examples of Jesus' anger, and who was it directed at? Pharisees. He would, yeah, he would use sarcasm, wouldn't he? Yeah, a little bit of sarcasm directed at them. Yes. Right? He would get irritated at the fact that they had no faith. He was not always just this happy, nice person. So there is a righteous anger. And God talks about, when he talks about his attributes, if you look on the second page of the passages, you have Exodus 34, 6. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So God reveals himself to Moses. Moses said, show me who you are. I want to see you. He doesn't quite see him, but God reveals himself. And he says, I'm slow to anger. In other words, you have to provoke me numerous times. Which the Israelites managed to do with their sin. And the disciples asked Jesus about this very kind of question, where they say, if someone sins against me, should I forgive them seven times? So they thought it was being fairly generous. What was Jesus' response? His math. 70 times 7, 490 times. That's fairly slow to anger. It's a good thing, because I think I've hit my 490 myself. I'm afraid sometimes, I don't know if there's a week sometimes where I hit 490. So we have this notion here of anger, but slow to anger means something where that anger is directed at a person, but it's for a particular cause. So we're gonna unpack that a little bit more. But I just wanted to kind of get us thinking before we really dive into this Christian approach to anger. And so we heard from Ephesians 4, Pastor read that to us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. And then 4:26, Ephesians 4:26, be angry, but do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. There's two things about that passage. You can be angry without sin. And a little hint, if your anger is at something that's about you, it's probably could easily have some sin connected with it. You're angry because someone offended you, did these other things. That's a little hint. You say, no, okay, why am I angry? Well, it's because of my own, either my pride has been wounded, something that I want, I cannot have. Ever seen a kid get really mad when they want something and they can't have it? You've probably just seen it in theory. Never happened with you or your kids, I'm sure. They get very angry. Woo! It's pretty funny. I mean, if it's not my own kids, which I don't have, so I watch somebody else's and I say, this is actually somewhat entertaining when it's not your own children. Because you just see, they're just out of control. And it's all about them. And so there's something about this where he says, be angry but don't sin. In other words, the direction, the reason, the justification for your anger needs to be about something that is an objective offense, an objective wrongdoing, an objective sin. And frankly, if it's against you, your anger is probably not well spent. Then the other thing is very interesting here. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. What happens when anger percolates? Turns into bitterness, turns into resentment, revenge, notions of revenge. Woo-woo. That is not good. So letting anger percolate is not good. It's better, frankly, to get angry and get over it than it is to let it stew. It's just unhumanly unhelpful. I could say this to a whole bunch of non-Christians and just say, this is wisdom. Don't let the sun go down in your anger. And yeah, I love the Proverbs. There are lots of Proverbs I'd love to quote. Probably my favorite proverb, which has nothing to do with anger, is, as a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard Proverbs are my favorites. But go to the ant, you sluggard. But the Proverbs are great. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Whoa. I mean, that is a high thing. So you're better than the mighty if you're slow to anger. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. And then there's another favorite one of mine, which is not quite anger, but it's this thing. It says, better a corner on a roof than living in a house with a contentious wife. Oh, yes. Yes. Just don't quote it at the wrong time, husbands. Let me give you some advice. You might be up on the roof. Okay. All right. So there is righteous anger. We talked about Jesus' anger. We talked about the wrath of God. The wrath of God, Romans 1:18. It's a sobering passage. Let's see if I have it here. If not, I will just read it. No, there it is. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who by their wickedness suppress the truth. And then that goes on to describe some things. And it's Paul is saying it's not good to be ungodly. It's not good to ignore who God is. Because there is punishment. Oftentimes it's simply a punishment that is the result of their own actions. And that's what Paul says. He says he visits them with the consequences of their own iniquity. Okay, so anger is righteous when it's a response to something unjust that's happening, when there's an obstacle in the way of something legitimate that we want to see happen, and when it's controlled. So in a certain way, it has to be all three of these in some ways. You have to say, I have to choose to be angry. And I have to have that kind of control. And we'll talk about that a little bit in just a minute. Anger is unrighteous when we're just trying to get our own way. Witness the two-year-old. And when it's out of control. Even if you're totally justified, if you are out of control, it is still unrighteous. And you need to repent to God and sometimes to someone else. Okay, so how should we handle our anger in difficult situations? The first is, anger is not bad always. So you don't just repress it. Oftentimes what happens, as I said, if you let the sun go down on your anger, you repress it, and then you experience that bitterness, that sense of revenge, and other things going on, that's frankly worse than just dealing with the situation, the unrighteousness, the bad thing that's happening. We should respond to it with Christian wisdom. And we have to take that step back. It's very helpful, not easy. We have to take that step back and say, okay, what is going on here? And I actually do, this is one of those cases where it actually is helpful to think it through. What's going on? What is this person doing or saying what is going on, and do I have a responsibility to deal with it? If it's just I'm bothered by it, I might just say, you know, I need to let this pass, or I need to give this an hour or two, because I will not respond well. I've had situations where I've sat on it for a while, and then I go, you know, I need to work this through with that person. I need to go and talk to them. That anger is actually motivating me to work that thing through. But I take it, I sometimes will sleep on that and then go back to the person. But there are also times when, you know, you just have to deal with it. I had my first job, my second job out of after college. I was working with a man named Cecil Murray, who Ron knows very well, and some other people. But we were working with a very difficult client who had their, the client was actually okay, but the one guy that was kind of our contact for them was just hard to deal with. He was very abrasive, very much in your face. And basically was controlling the situation, controlling the relationship. Well, Cecil was not a man to, you know, he could get mad. Well, one time we're on the phone with this guy, and he's just going after something, and Cecil just goes, "Dick," and he says, "You need to stop that, right?" He just let him have it in no uncertain terms. And there's kind of a pause at the other end of the phone. Cecil hits the mute button and says, "Sometimes you just have to poke him right between the eyes." And it really helped. And then a few weeks later, I'm talking to this same guy on the phone. And he basically accused me of lying, right to my face. And I'm 23 years old, and he's in his 40s. But I just said, you know, I got to let him have it. And I did. I said, I'm pounding the table. You don't see me mad often. And I really wasn't that mad. But I was incensed, and I was going to let him have it. And I did. And after that, our relationship was great. It was just the best relationship. He just backed way down. And from then on, I had a great relationship with him. You know, and I just say, well, I learned a lesson, and I watched, and I did it. And I said, you know, it's actually helpful sometimes just to get angry at a situation. I'm sure Ron can tell us a few stories from the Navy. When he was... Yeah, we don't need to hear your language, no. But there are times when that anger can be justified, channeled in a constructive way. So we have to use it in a good way. So when we deal with a person who's a Christian, we have a course called Christian Personal Relationships, and we actually touch on this whole area there as well, because that's very important. Is when we're having a difficulty with someone and we're getting very angry about something they did or said, it is really true Christians manage to irritate one another. And in fact, because we have a close relationship, we tend to do more things that irritate one another. We're a little more relaxed. I get more angry with the people I'm close to than I do with the people far away. I mean, I just do. And I'm not proud of it. And so what I end up having to do is to work those things through. And so what we do is we take that anger, or sometimes we're the recipient of someone's anger. And our response needs to be a response first of humility even after we're going after someone, to say, you know, I'm probably just overreacting, but here's what's going on, and to be able to have a discussion. But we shouldn't just paper it over. We actually have a responsibility to deal with when we see something wrong in a relationship or a situation. So it really is possible to work through these things, and especially to have an expectation of someone comes to you and says, you know, can I talk to you about this thing that you said, or can I talk to you about this thing you did, or this way that you handled the situation? Our response needs to be, first you say, you know, they're probably angry. It's helpful to realize that they're a little bit angry, they're a little peeved about something. And I find it very helpful to say, oh, okay. And to be able to orient myself to simply listen and to then not react. Because there's something going on there. And my first reaction, of course, is to get defensive. Oh, I didn't really mean it that way, or I didn't do this, or whatever it is. Instead of getting defensive, I go, I just need to receive it. And to say, what they're saying has probably got more truth in it than I really want to hear, and I just need to respond. Or I can get very angry at them in return and have a difficult relationship that then we have to go to somebody else to sort out, or we just agree to disagree and are not very close. And I'd say, you know, in a church, let's work through the things. So you use that anger. We talked about that in that course. Just wanted to mention it. Okay, what about problems with anger? All of us have different ways of handling our anger. Sometimes we internalize it. That doesn't necessarily mean we don't have a problem with anger. Frankly, sometimes the people who are a little more volcanic have less of a problem with anger than the people who internalize it. So let's not judge quickly, lest we be judged. But if there is something going on where we say, you know, I have a problem with anger, there's an element there of surrender that the Lord might be going after in you. And so to say, okay, Lord, are you after something in me? And can I actually hear, either through a brother or sister or from the Lord, and say, you know, I've got a problem with my own self-will, and I don't like it when my will is crossed, and I'm still like a 2-year-old in some situations. Okay, recognize it. Work to put away our resentments, again, that bitterness. Resentment, 1 Corinthians 13:5 and Colossians 4, I'll read them. Love is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. This is that famous wedding passage, but it's not, Paul's not talking about marriage there, but he's talking about love. That's a whole chapter. But the reason it's often read at weddings, it's not an inappropriate one at all for a wedding. It's a very good one. But it says, love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. What a high calling. And then, was it Colossians? Yeah, thank you. So, yes, Colossians 4:12, not the 3 one. Unfortunately, these aren't always in order. Oh, I don't see it. No, maybe. Oh, I think it actually might be that 3. I think it's a correction. Forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Paul is always quick to say to these Christians, you need to forbear. you need to forgive. That's the way it is. And you've got to learn how to do that. So you just have to put away those resentments. Also, word to the wise, it really helps to have a decent amount of order in your life so that you're not habitually overpressured. I would be the pot calling the kettle black if I said that I need to have, if I said I'm perfect and you aren't. But when you have too much on your plate, you tend to have problems with anger and things, and with other people, and it's all their fault too. And so you kind of say, oh, okay, maybe I'm a little bit, I got too many things. Sometimes that external pressure are things that we really cannot, we have no choice about. And there we simply have to go to the mercy of God and say, Lord, help me. Help me in this situation. And sometimes to a good brother or sister for some advice. Sometimes just a vent. It's really helpful. Internal pressure. Trying too hard, perfectionism, overambition. Again, those are kind of a nice root bed. Put them down there as nice soil for growing anger. We also need to handle inhibitions and other fearfulness well. We're going to talk about fear next talk. But the main point here is that if we surrender to the Lord, and say, Lord, you are in charge. It's going to go the way it's going to go. One of my favorite sayings is, we have to deal with the reality we have, not the reality we want it to be. We have to kind of say, you know, this is what I've got. It is what it is. C'est la vie, you know. I mean, there's a certain aspect of that where you say, you know, there's a serenity prayer. It comes from Alcoholics Anonymous, which I love. You know, God grant me the serenity to handle the things, to handle the things that I can't change, the wisdom to know what I can change, or the wisdom to know the difference. So basically, an idea here of there are some things I cannot change, and I just have to be accepting of those. There are some things I can change, and I need to deal with those. And I need to be able to tell the difference. Now, some people have what I would call serious problems with anger, you know, where it's out of control, it injures people, it abuses people, and things like that. There, I would definitely say that's a place where counseling, professional help is a very good thing. It can really help people sort through things and sometimes uncover some stuff, some patterns in their life that they need to break. So it's not just simply saying, oh, I just have to apply this Christian wisdom and everything will work in my life. There are times when we just need some additional help. And there might be times and seasons in our life. That is okay. Welcome to the human race. Yes, we have this ideal and we say, I should be able to do this at times. We need a little bit more help, some counsel from a wise and sometimes especially trained person to help that. Okay, that's really what I wanted to say. So we've got a good 10 minutes here for any comments, questions, little stories, other things.
Mm-hmm. And when they do, it sort of moves away and we have to try and backpedal a little, figure out, well, now what do I do with that? You know, I certainly didn't expect that from them. And therefore, I got to deal with this differently. I think it's, you know, yeah, because they're all human and have the same kind of emotions.
Yeah. Christians have emotions. And.
You know,
right. Right, and I think there is something. I think it's a very good point, Liz. Of, it's actually helpful. The Holy Spirit should allow us and give us a certain kind of fruit of the Spirit is self-control, peace, patience. I mean, there is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that should do some fundamental change in us. And so there really is something where you say, yes, I should expect that. At the same time, we're still human until we're with the Lord. And so this is the thing, this is a Lutheran point here, a nice little Lutheran time, which is, you know, Martin Luther would say, if you're going to sin, sin boldly. I mean, that is, don't, and by that, what he would say is, don't simply try to behave in a particular way. Actually say, you know, probably the only way I'm going to learn this is actually by sometimes not handling something right and getting corrected by brother or sister. I'll tell you, you learn a lot more, a lot quicker when you just kind of, okay, I think I just blew it, but I wasn't so careful that I somehow bottled it all up and just were so behavior-oriented I did it. So there's a balance. It's not like you should just, whatever, you know. But there is that balance where you say, you know, being genuine is okay in a church.
But there's grace for the
yeah.
Because you know, if you're angry
right. Right. Yeah, that's a very good point, Wendy. It's right.
Yes. I read it I was saying before. We have kind of an expectation that they've all been trained in dealing with Christian conflict. Okay.
Right.
Any kind of conflict within their families or outside or whatever. And the older I get, the more I see that is absolutely not true.
Right. And again, so what they'll do is you find a certain kind of Christian. It's very interesting. You find certain Christian patterns. And you have this kind of certain, and groups will kind of pick that up if they're not handling it well. And so what will happen is you'll have, yes, they've got that nice kind of painted on smiley face, but there's a lot of backbiting. There's a lot of sarcasm, a negative humor, right? You have to be very careful and you say, you know, I'm expressing it in a ostensibly more Christian way. Well, frankly, it'd be nicer if you just used the blue word language and blew up. It's just terrible. Yeah, Angie, you wanted to?
In my class, we talked about how to teach little humans how to deal with conflict. And, you know, violence is just a response to conflict. Mm-hmm. Violence isn't. And the reason I'm saying this is because when you're angry, it's how you react. Do you want to punch someone or do you want to have a conversation? And so, a way is to problem solve. Like, you even start by with little kids. So I think this lesson might even be good for adults, but starting young, when you're angry, you can problem solve.
Mm-hmm.
When you're angry, take some time apart. The sharing is also a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a really good thing with adults, not just walk away from the person. We don't use your common sense, but I think it's important. I think it's important to also teach little people.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wendy.
I have to say one of the things that helped me the most to learn how to deal with anger, because I grew up in a family where anger was simmering under the surface and people didn't talk about it. It wasn't loud and people didn't yell, but there was, simmering. And that's almost worse. And the thing that helped me the most was just other people's example. When I would pay attention to how other people handled things and realize there was a different way to do things. And it just, the example helped. That's why, adults can help children by dealing with things in a way that's more godly.
And Jean Dennis isn't here, but I would still say, in Scripture it says Moses was the meekest man on the earth. I mean, he took a lot of stuff and just had to deal with it. Jean Dennis is always kind of my, Lord, if I could just be a little bit more like Jean, Because Jean, if he's not happy with something, he'll talk to you about it. It's not like he'll just, let everything go, but he'll do it in the meekest way. And it's always, I'm sorry to have to bother you with this, but why did you do that? and it just is disarming. I mean, you can't get mad at Jean Dennis. It'd be like getting mad at Chris Stauffer, I mean, Giannis probably has gotten mad at his mother before, but he probably is about the only person in this room that's ever really gotten steamed at her. But there is something where you say, yeah, that's really right. And at the same time, there's that genuineness, and we have to work it out. I will conclude with one story. I was in New York City. I'd worked overnight. We'd gone out to a client with a crisis. And so a couple guys and I were there, and we were sorting out this problem, and their vice presidents were all mad. And it wasn't quite as bad as healthcare.gov, but they weren't happy. And so we worked through the night, and I was just finishing up some stuff, and we were going to get on a plane the next day or so, and in that afternoon. But the night computer operator comes in to talk to Pat Stramondinoli. Pat is an Italian. Italians know how to, they're expressive. So anyway, the night operator comes in and obviously has some complaint about the day computer operator who had just gotten on the shift. And so you hear this kind of, loud voices in Pat's office. And then Pat comes out of his office and says, "Hey, Joe, come over here." Joe comes into the office. And then you hear some talking, loud talking, and then just starts. These two guys are just yelling at the top of their lungs at each other. Pat then walks out of the office, closes the door, just comes over, looks at me, just goes, and these guys are just screaming and yelling at each other. Pat just goes over, looks at me, he goes, "I love it. I just love it." So this was working out a problem New York style, He just said, "Well, Joe," he just said that you were this, and Joe, they worked out their problem. It wasn't pretty, but I always said yes. Well, it's one way of dealing with anger, I guess, is just deal with it right head on. So, but fortunately, we don't have to do it that way. So, okay, I think we are done, and it's not.
We have one thing to discuss: is next week, myself. And